It's that time of the year again, Sudashma.
Yes, when climate change becomes a hot topic.
Sudashma, time flies. Last year, this time, world leaders, policymakers, and climate activists were in Glasgow discussing climate action at COP26.
Yes, that was the fifth summit since the 2015 Paris Agreement. For background, the Paris Agreement was an attempt to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels.
Within 2 weeks, the Glasgow Climate Pact was made. Countries had agreed to phase down coal, and developed countries promised to help developing countries navigate decarbonization and pledged to meet after a year with significant progress.
Yep, so here we are. This year on November 6th, the United Nations Climate Change Conference, or COP27, will commence in Sharm El Sheikh, an Egyptian resort town between the Sinai Peninsula and the Red Sea.
And with this, Sudhashma and I are both excited to kick off our COP27 discussions with two short and two long episodes till the end of this year.
We are very excited to chit chat with some of our friends in our upcoming episode, but for today,
I am Simone,
I'm Satashma.
and we bring you our newly named segment, Climate Talks 101.
And if you have not guessed it already, this episode is all about COP.
The last 12 months since COP26 has really shown what has been on stake.
I agree. To start with, I've told you multiple times this past week, but it has been unusually warm where I currently am.
I feel like we talk about the weather all the time, Sadashma, because same, it's supposed to start snowing already where I am, but it was 20 degrees Celsius today.
I agree, and this is very unusual, but to add, remember the heat wave in Europe where countries hit record-breaking temperatures?
Right. And also, let's not forget the droughts in China, which were, according to the reports, the worst droughts in 50 years. And due to this, hydroelectric power stations were unable to produce energy.
Yeah, Simon, the list goes on. Let's not forget the very recent Pakistan floods that we also covered in our recent episode. These floods intensified the discussion on climate reparations. So, for our listeners, reparations are the compensation that Global South nations deserve and are asking from high-emitting nations.
Right, Sudhashma, isn't it so weird that once rare weather events are no longer rare anymore?
I agree, Simon. I totally agree.
And contrary to what one would expect from all these climate events, Sudhashma and I definitely felt a decrease in the momentum of climate action since COP26 for many reasons.
Yeah, and one of the reason was the understandable shift in global focus to the Russo-Ukrainian war.
Speaking of the war, in the last 12 months, report shows that there has been an increase in the use of oil, gas, and coal in Europe as Europe tries to cope with the energy crisis caused by the war, as Russia was their main provider.
Well, Simon, not to add to the negativity, but last week, UNEP published their annual report on world's emission gap. This report shows the difference between where the greenhouse gas emissions are predicted to be in 2030 and where they should be to avert the worst impacts of climate change. And Simon, it's not looking good. This report was a reminder that despite all the talks and negotiations and promises, we are nowhere close to achieving the 1.5 degree Celsius target.
Right, Sudhashma. And according to that report, with the current policies, predictions show that we will be hitting a 2.8 degrees Celsius temperature rise by the end of this century.
So basically, the temperature level keeps rising and our optimism level keeps dropping.
Sudhashma, please, that was a bad one. That did not help at all.
I know, but Simon, what might help is that there have also been climate victories that are normally not highlighted enough. And that is why we exist. That is why Anthropoz exists. You and I are keeping it real.
Yeah, and I completely agree. While we do highlight the depressing stuff, we make sure to talk about the positives happening around the world, or at least try to. And let's start from our home, Nepal, where we saw a major conservation victory this year with the almost tripling of tigers in 12 years.
I agree. And that was a major victory. And you and I were obsessed with it for a while. And I think we will be obsessing about it for a while. But not to forget, this one is exciting. We have seen a significant expansion of renewable energy all around the world, along with massive investments in climate tech.
Also, this other news that Sebastian and I have been so excited about is some of the pro-climate policies that are being implemented by some of the governments around the world. We highly recommend you guys to go look up and analyze the policies amped up in India, the US, and Europe.
Simon, wait a minute. Weren't we supposed to talk about COP?
Oh gosh, well, we got carried away. Again, like always. It is a wonder why most of our episodes are super long. We really need to put a timer, Sebastian.
Okay, Simon, let's talk COP. Oh my God, Simon. I just got a notification that the newly elected British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, has apparently changed his mind. He will be attending COP.
Wait, what? When did this happen? I thought he was focusing on pressing domestic matters.
I just got a notification from Twitter that he now says, quote, "There is no long-term prosperity without action on climate change. There is no energy security without investing in renewables. That is why I will attend COP27 next week to deliver on Glasgow's legacy of building a secure and sustainable future."
Interesting. I think it is important to have the UK at COP this year. Even John Kerry from the US was adamant about the UK attending. And adding to that, Greta Thunberg will not be attending this year, and she went ahead and called the summit greenwashing. She said, quote, "The COPs are mainly used as an opportunity for leaders and people in power to get attention using many different kinds of greenwashing." She also called out the summit in Egypt for being held in a tourist paradise that violates human rights.
Oh my gosh, okay. Kind of dialing it back, Simon, can you remind me who John Kerry from the United States is?
John Kerry is the special international envoy for climate change from the US.
Okay, I see. Very interesting. And very, very interesting about Greta Thunberg as well. While the scrutiny continues, Coca-Cola, the world's largest plastic polluter, is one of the sponsors of the conference. And we also found out that the Center for Egyptian Women's Legal Assistance, who previously participated in a video conference in last year's COP, were denied to attend the event, imagine, in their own country.
This is actually making me very nervous, Sebastian. COP has not been hosted by a developing nation in 6 years. And this news about COP being in Egypt this year had made me very excited. There's so much potential from this conference, and we really hope that the focus will be on the Global South, the region most affected by the climate crisis.
I agree, Simon, and we are also very hopeful that the elephant in the room is finally addressed. They need to talk about loss and damage and the need for climate reparations.
I completely agree, Sebastian, but even if they don't, we will be talking about this topic in our December post-COP exclusive with the Loss and Damage Collaboration Initiative.
Oh my God. Okay, Simon, the timer is going off. It's time for us to go. Let's be punctual.
You will hear our voices very soon. Stay tuned for our next COP episode this month.
Don't miss us too much. Bye.
Sebastian, let's go.